Split open in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. Be looking there in just a few minutes. 2 Timothy. While you're turning there, let me just say, I was really excited and delighted when I learned that Brother Green was going to speak to us this morning. I hadn't heard him speak before, and I was looking forward to his comments. Then as he was speaking, I kind of got a sick feeling in my stomach when I realized that a lot of what he was saying was on my outline for tonight. But in the hours that, when the last time you saw me and now, were not enough for me to change my path. So you're going to get a second dose of a very similar topic. But if what I have to say tonight is from the Word of God, then it's worth repeating. And if to our aid, perhaps we'll have that much greater opportunity to apply what we learned today, having heard it multiple ways and multiple times today. And for those of you that are visiting, you missed the better sermon this morning. So if you haven't guessed, tonight I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes about spiritual warfare. You know, as we think about physical warfare, we recognize that having physical strength is of utmost importance. And we also recognize that, you know, in certain periods of our life, you know, physical strength can be improved, it can grow, it can be increased. But in the end, and as the aging process takes place, physical strength will pass away. Physical strength will undoubtedly weaken. And it will do us no profit to have physical strength towards the end. But when we compare that to our spiritual lives and spiritual warfare, the difference is there. Spiritual strength that we can build in our lives can increase and it can increase and increase all the way up until our time on this earth is expired. And we can work on that and we can build that. And so as we think about what we should focus on, you know, it's obvious that we should focus our attention on what we can do to improve our spiritual lives and our spiritual strength of character. Tonight, as I've mentioned, we'll be looking at 2 Timothy, and I think all throughout the book of 2 Timothy, Paul is touching on this idea of maintaining and building spiritual strength as he talks to the young preacher, Timothy. And tonight I've taken the liberty to rearrange some of Paul's words, and not because I could by any means present them or have a better order than Paul, but just for my sake and hopefully for your benefit, we can learn a few things about spiritual strength in the outline that I've prepared tonight. When we think about physical warfare once again, we realize that obviously we must be prepared, and that to be prepared is the first thing that we need to focus on. Likewise, in spiritual warfare and the things that we must face on a day-to-day basis of a spiritual nature, we must be prepared. And what better way or what manner should we prepare ourselves than to study what God's Word has to say, so that we understand what we're up against, we understand the enemy, and we can prepare ourselves, we can know the mind of God on this matter and know what He would have us to do to be ready to engage in spiritual warfare. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Back in chapter 1, I'm going to go rather quickly, so I apologize. Chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, "Hold fast the form of sound words." And when I was studying this, I realized that there may be a specific item being spoken of here, and when it says the form of sound words, but I think in general we can certainly agree that once we have found what the truth is, we need to hold fast to it. We need to keep it close to us, and we need to keep it tight to us, and we need to be ready to use it. In chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And then of course we know, recognize there in chapter 3, the very familiar passage in 16 and 17, talks about how the Bible can equip us for everything that we're going to encounter. Every good work that we should be engaged in, whether it be fighting, you know, the forces of evil, or just doing what we're supposed to do, the Scriptures are able to help us and guide us in that direction, and we have all that we need in the Scriptures. So not only do we need to study, as we learned in these passages, but we also need to remember the things and make an effort to remember the things that we've studied and learned as they are the truth of God's Word. We shouldn't get confused by those who may challenge the truth to their own destruction. Secondly, as we consider preparing ourselves for spiritual warfare, recognize that we need to pay attention. We need to be aware. We need to be vigilant. We need to be instant. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, Paul starts in verse 1, "I charge thee therefore," and then dropping down to verse 2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Then dropping down to verse 5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist." Paul instructs Timothy to be ready to preach the word immediately because persecutions and trials will undoubtedly come. We know of another passage in 1 Peter where Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, "And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And so likewise, we need to be ready when opportunities present themselves, and we must be prepared to teach at all times. And then a third idea that I've been able to glean here is that we should take strength. We can take comfort, we can take courage from knowing that we are in Christ's favor. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." We know that we're on the winning side. We know that if we are doing what God would have us to do and we are contending for the faith, we know that Jesus is with us, He is on our side, and we won't lose. So these are some things that we can think about as we prepare ourselves for the battle, but we know the battle will come. It could be a big battle, it can be a small battle, but those battles will come as we live our lives if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. What things does Paul have to say to Timothy to help him in that effort? I think one of the things he says is that we should not be afraid, or he should not be afraid, and by extension, we should not be afraid. We should be courageous. Back in chapter 1, in verse 7, he says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." Those are the things that we should have in our thoughts. The power of God, the love of God, and be of a sound mind. Not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. In chapter 2 and verse 3, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And then in verse 4 he goes on to say that we should not get entangled in worldly concerns because it will affect our performance as a good soldier. So we shouldn't be, thinking about those things and getting entangled in what the world strives for and fights for, whether it be power, worldly power, prestige, money. We shouldn't get caught up in those things. We should focus on our spiritual well-being and those things that we should be fighting on a daily basis as we attempt to preserve our own spiritual well-being. Another idea that I found here is that Paul says in many places that we should not be ashamed. Well, rather, we should be proud. And that's proud not of ourselves, or proud of ourselves, but proud in Christ. Proud of what Christ has done. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Here Paul is, he's in prison when he's writing this letter. And it would be, as a follower, as Timothy, somewhat of a follower of Paul, in the sense that Paul got him started, he might be ashamed that his mentor is sitting in prison. He says, don't be ashamed. He says, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. These kinds of things are going to happen, and be prepared and ready for when they do. In chapter 1, as we jump back and forth, I apologize for the jumping, but I'm trying to organize these kind of by topic. Chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things," and that is of Jesus Christ and all that He's accomplished through God's plan. He says, "I also suffer these things, Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You know, Paul was confident that God would come through with the promises that he's made if he would be faithful. We sang a song that had these exact words in it this morning, and we need to understand what they mean and where they came from as we do so. Back in chapter 2 in verse 15, again, we've seen this verse already. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, the emphasis now at this time is not to be ashamed. You know, when we are ashamed of Jesus and wearing the name of Jesus in our daily walks out in the world for fear of what others may say or what others may think about us, it truly shows a lack of appreciation for what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And it shows how shallow we can be when we act that way. We should never be ashamed of what Jesus has done and never be ashamed to wear his name, not just among ourselves, but out in the world where it's not popular and where we will be ridiculed for the stands that we take, the things that we will and will not do, and the things that we'll say and not say, and all that comes with being a Christian. Third thing is that I've noticed here in the battle is that we must be brave in conflict. Now we're talking about persecution has come. You're going to be persecuted. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul again reminds us in verse 9 of why he is suffering, and it's because of the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He could very easily become saved, and that was it. Went back to his house, and that was it. But no, we know that Paul was one of the greatest missionaries, if not the greatest missionary of all time. He went out and he was willing to suffer that persecution for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 10 of chapter 2, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes. And of course the elect is, as he mentioned here, is the church. For the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He had a greater purpose in mind. It was for the sake of the church that he was willing to suffer persecution. He says he would suffer long for the sake of the souls that he teaches and he cares for. And the struggle is worth it. Dropping down to verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. Very plain language that Paul is using here. He reminds us that to reign with Christ in heaven, we must suffer as he did. If we do not, and we deny that suffering, or we deny Christ, he will deny us. As we jump to chapter 3 and verse 11, Paul says, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. We have to keep that in mind. Paul says that he endured all these afflictions and persecutions, and God delivered him from every single one. You know, if God can deliver Paul, or did deliver Paul from all those persecutions that he endured, he certainly can and will deliver us from whatever slight persecutions that we might face in our lives. Recognizing that we will probably never come anywhere close to the persecutions that Paul endured. And that's really the key, is that we have to do our part in this battle. Our part is that we have to endure, and when we endure through those tough times, God will deliver us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul again makes it very plain, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, those who would live godly will suffer. We must ask ourselves if we suffer lightly or we don't suffer at all, if we truly are living as godly as we ought. And then a fourth thing that I got from this passage or these passages is that we have to be smart in our battle against sin and against the enemy, which is Satan. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, he says to Timothy, flee youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Paul recognized that even when there's a place to be strong and to be courageous and to endure, there are certain things that will cause us great strife and great conflict, and those are the things that come from within us. Those are the lusts and the things that plague us throughout our whole lives, and each one of us has our own. He says, flee those things. That means run away. We have to be smart enough to know that when those things come up, we have to run for our lives, so to speak. Then he gives another thought, still in chapter 2, verses 23 through 26. He says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Strength is also knowing when to avoid certain situations, such as when those who want to wrangle for the sake of wrangling, they will have profane and vain babblings, as the text uses that language, that we're not to get involved in that. Those people are not concerned about the truth of God. So we must not strive and struggle in the same way that we might strive and struggle in another situation. It would be in vain. But rather, we must fight that situation and fight the devil using a different approach. We must be gentle, ready to teach, patient, meek with those who would cause strife, so that they might be snatched from the grasp of the devil. And that's the way that Paul suggests that those situations ought to be handled. Those are some of the thoughts as we look at the battle itself. But in the end, we recognize that if we remain faithful and that we endure through all those things, that in fact, God will deliver us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18, Paul says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul knew that the Lord would deliver him in the end and preserve him for the heavenly kingdom. As we bring this lesson to a close, I think Paul states the end, so to speak, very well, if you read in chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 with me. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew that his time on earth was coming to an end. He says in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He says, I fought the fight, the good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. And he was looking forward to that crown of righteousness that could be obtained when his life was over. Likewise, if we do those things, if we take the example of Paul here, and we fight the good fight in our daily living, and we finish the course, and we keep the faith, that we too can take hold of that same reward that God has promised through taking hold of the salvation that is available through Jesus, and then living a faithful life and doing our part while on this earth. These are some of the things that I've been able to pick up from 2 Timothy about spiritual warfare. Tonight, if you look upon your life, as I have mine and as we all should, and realize that there are deficiencies in our lives, maybe we don't contend like we should. We do not. Maybe we avoid situations that we should hit head on, as Brother Green said this morning, and face those situations directly. Maybe we need to muster courage in our own lives and we hear false teaching. Not maybe we should muster courage to intervene in those conversations perhaps that we hear or we're involved in, and make sure that the truth is being proclaimed and not the false doctrine that is so prevalent in our world today. Let's look at our lives and let's think about these things as we go out in our daily living, that we would strive to be more courageous in how we act. Or perhaps tonight you are not a Christian at all, and you have not taken advantage of what Jesus has done for you. Perhaps you don't have the courage that it would take. Recognize that while it may take a little bit of courage to come to the front, you don't have to come to the front. You can take care of that at any time. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins at any time. And that you should not wait, because the courage that it takes to overcome whatever is holding you back is going to be much less than what courage you'll have to have when you face God on the judgment day. How terrible and awful that will be. And so recognize that you should take advantage of what the opportunity you have right now, knowing that we don't have any guarantee of another breath. So tonight, if you have a need, whether you need to make a confession of sin in your life that may have brought reproach upon the church, maybe you've not represented yourself and maybe this congregation in a public way that you ought to, maybe you would like to come forward at this time and confess that. We'll pray with you and we'll talk with you and we'll work with you and help you as best we can. Or if you're not a Christian, that you might take advantage of the opportunity you have right now. If you have a need, please come forward as we stand, as we sing.